ours is 6:30.
June 30th.
6:01 to 6:30.
District payments to the retirees.
To the retirees. Okay, okay. I figured it had to do with that because it's on payroll, but I just had never seen that large of an amount with the TSA.
Yeah, but that was great.
Got it.
Okay, Anna, you might have some, I might have some questions for you. So I know we got the new van for the kitchen, which was like $53,010. That came out of our excess cafeteria fund, correct? From that money we
no.
had to spend.
That came out of the kit. Infrastructure funding, the one-time funding that we had, that we received in 21-22, 22-23, and there was a balance remaining that needed to be spent by 6/30/26.
Okay.
So it came out of those funds.
Okay, so that wasn't the extra cafeteria money that
no.
we had to spend out of that. Okay. And then I get all the laptops and curriculum because there was a lot of high stuff. And then the other thing is, I see that and I get the,
where are you at, Nikki? Just so
where am I?
Yeah.
Now I'm at the very bottom of the
our bills and warrants.
Bills and
okay.
warrants. And I get the $9,000 for the fire system out at Lone Tree. My question is the intercom system at $135,000, does it speak in like every language? And did we get three bids on that? Because $135,000 seems extreme, and this may be a Chad question, extremely astronomical to me. I mean, the $9,000 I get, we need a fire alarm. I know Rich had years of, you know, trying to get it and all that. See, and I know that we had talked with SC Technologies and that, but $135,500 and some, I mean, did we have other bids for this? Because I know we're supposed to go out for bid and that kind of stuff, and is this the lowest bid we had?
So on that one, we've gotten multiple bids over the last like 10, 15 years, and it just keeps getting more expensive. However, with their school, it's a whole complete reinstall because their speakers are all analog. They're mm-hmm. not wired to digital, so we've got to run new cables on the speakers. It's actually more than that. However, we're not paying out of our pocket. The grant that I wrote for the SVP cost grant, we had it for cameras, and we decided this was a bigger security issue of not having bells and intercoms. So we took the funds, I did a GAM, which is a grant modification, and they accepted it so that now we can apply the funds to bells and intercoms so we don't pay.
Oh, so that made me just so much happier right
yeah.
there, Chad.
yeah.
Because I was wondering if it came like with a yellow brick road and if it's spoken, you know, 20 different languages and everything else. Because that's,
crazy.
I mean, that's just, yeah.
But this is a whole, like, we've gotten in, basically, we have the funds,
mm-hmm.
so why not do it right from the start?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why it is the top dollar
mm-hmm.
of it, because we're getting everything required and everything to be done out there.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So
I was just
going to be in every room on
yeah.
on Lone Tree's campus.
And even there's clocks that are going to get wired into the system as well that are standalone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not done yet, or?
No, it's not done because they have staffing issues.
Okay.
And they keep pushing it back. They also are on the fire, so they're getting the fire.
The fire is done though. Now
yeah,
that we
yeah.
have students on campus.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the most important.
Michael, Jody, did they check out on fire? They said they didn't have it done before the first day of school. So,
we're not quite ready on fire.
Okay. So, yeah, they were, I was on them pretty much weekly. You got to get more people out here. And then that's when they were going to the Bell Center home. And I said, I had this conversation. I said, I think that fire is going to be a little bit more, because we already have a working bell, half working bell.
Well, yeah.
So I said, make sure you get firemen. They told me at that time during the summer that they would concentrate on fire now, and they said that we should have it done before start of school, but I guess that's not the case.
Okay. So we'll follow up on that
yeah.
and make sure we get fire. Okay. Okay. Those are my only. There.
We're coming into the nation's century.
Congratulations.
For $135,000, I surely hope so. But hey, there's a grant. You know what? I can. You know what? I can.
Buildings are the wiring has to go up.
What's that?
you only have certain access points.
If I remember correctly, didn't they have to retrench and do all sorts of things to be able to do it?
For another project, they did the conduit going from Lone Tree down to the lower campus has been basically corroded. So they think that either the asphalt crushed the two lines. So in a previous project we had, it got stopped by that. So now we went out for E-rate. So we have, we're only paying 20% of it on that project to run conduit. But we call for two conduits so that if future proof, we ever need to run anything, we'll have two lines. So we'll have a completely empty line and then a new line with everything running. So.
Awesome.
They called out the GPR guys and they marked the entire to see if they could get away with boring instead of trenching. So if they trench, that means they're going
to tear
that wall up, which is not what we want. We want to get away with boring. So they're trying to find a path without hitting a line and bore underneath the ground, which again, that one got pushed back too. So now if we don't want, obviously, disruption in the parking lot. So if they can get it done with the boring rod, it would be less disruptive. But if we have to go trenching, then we might have to push it back to the students and staff.
And having been out there before, just to warn you all, if they do the boring route, more than likely they will get a quarter of the way through the boring and they will abort it because there is rock out there. And we have tried to bore way back when in the past and that went sideways, and that is why they did the alternate route when we trenched it. So we'll see. Technology's come farther.
Yes.
Boring might be better than 17 years ago, but 17 years ago we could not bore under that parking lot.
Fingers crossed.
And we trenched it.
Thank you guys for clarifying that.
Yes. Okay, if there's no other questions, can I have a motion to accept the consent agenda, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. All right, on to action items. 5.1, authorize Superintendent Ange Gabber to file the annual statement of need for emergency 30-day substitute teaching permit.
Okay, so this is to get substitutes in place. As always, we have a short of substitute teachers. This allows us to do some waivers as people are coming in certain areas that we can extend their time in a classroom or have them repeat in multiple classrooms, even if they don't have the right credential for that. So, for example, most of our substitute teachers don't have a teaching credential at this point. They have a BA. So this allows us to put them in those classrooms with just a BA so that they can sub for us.
Any questions, comments, concerns?
I have a question.
Yes.
The BA is the minimum requirement. That's not changing.
To be a substitute teacher, yes.
Okay.
If there's no other questions, can I have a motion to accept 5.1, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. 5.1 passes. Moving on to 5.2, approval of the 30-day substitute CBEST waiver.
Okay, so in the past, Austin, this piggybacks on it. You had to have a BA and a CBEST in order to be a substitute teacher. A lot of CBEST is kind of going by the wayside as one of those mandatory tests. So a lot of our teachers, especially those like military that come in with a BA or even a teaching credential in some cases, haven't taken the CBEST test. So this allows us to waive that CBEST waiver so that they can continue to substitute.
Is that a hard test?
No.
Because
time frames, they only give it certain times of year, and in several places it is not mandatory. So people are coming in and they have a BA, but they haven't taken the CBEST yet. This just allows them to be able to do it.
The test is very cumbersome, and it
yes.
takes a long time to get in. It took me 6 months to get in, and I had to travel a long way to go there to do it.
Yeah. Most of the time they won't let you do it online.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It was a proctored exam.
Questions, comments, or concerns? Can I have a motion to accept 5.2, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Me? Nay.
5.2 passes. Continuing on, 5.3, authorize the superintendent, Alker, to file an annual declaration of need for fully qualified educators.
Okay, so this is the one that allows us to assign people or reassign them if they don't have like certain credentials in certain areas. The only places that we have the need for this coming in is like currently we have 5 teachers that are working on their CLAD certificate, and that's a English language learner certificate. All 5 of these teachers are fully credentialed teachers, but they're fully credentialed out of the state of California. In their state, that isn't a requirement to have a CLAD. So we were able to hire these teachers. They are enrolled, they are getting their CLAD, but it allows us to hire them and put them in place so that they have time to finish that paperwork while they're working for us. It also allows us to do the intern teachers. We have 4 intern teachers right now, 2 in our SDC program, and they are working through, so that takes a mod severe credential, which is an add-on to a special ed credential. So they are working through that process, and then we have 1 in 4th grade and 1 in kindergarten.
I have 1 in
kindergarten.
Yep.
Kindergarten? Yeah, kindergarten.
And then there's 2 for multiple subject. What is that one?
That's the kindergarten and the 4th grade.
Okay, any other questions? So the 5 estimate, that's, we know for sure we have 4.
We have 4.
So that's, you just put the 5 in there. Give us
just
five.
In case. No, you're reading that wrong. Sorry. The 5 is the 5 for the CLAD. That is just the CLAD. So the CLAD is an add-on. So they are fully credentialed teachers already. They have a full teaching credential. They're authorized, but they're authorized in the state of Nebraska. They're author 2 are in the state of Nevada. 2 are in, so they're out-of-state credentials. California has all these add-on components that we make teachers get because of the bilingual component or the English language EL, what they call ELL, English Language Learner credentials. So it's an extra 12 units, if I remember correctly, that they have to take to be certified to teach English language learners. So it's just different methods they can take. So what we're doing is we're allowing them to teach while they're taking those classes, and those people are already starting to enroll in programs. We've provided them with that information.
Where are those 5 at?
Those 5, so that's the one at the top that goes in. So we did bring, yeah, 3 and, yeah, 3 are at Bear River and 2 are at Lone Tree.
And they're all, they can either take a challenge test or they can take the coursework. The coursework is 360 classes and a cost of about $2,100 to attend. So they're, I think all 3 of them plan on doing that coursework route because they can earn units towards their April possession.
Makes sense. Okay. If there is no other questions, comments, or concerns, can I have a motion to accept 5.3, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Seconded.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, 5.3 passes. Moving on to 5.4, application for funding agricultural career technical incentive grant.
Yeah, so this is a grant that we've applied for the last, I think, 4 years, that comes up annually. It brings in about $20,000 to the Bear River FFA program. And this just allows Shelley to submit the application for that grant.
And it's 7th and 8th grade only?
So the yeah. FFA is technically 7th and 8th grade only. We have 6th graders that participate in that intro class to go in, but you officially can't be an FFA member until 7th and 8th grade.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Can I have a motion to accept 5.4, please?
A motion to accept.
And a second?
So moved. Or a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5.4 passes. On to 5.5. Approval of a local Yes. Date.
This is the plan that you already approved in June. However, it got kicked back from the county. There are no material or financial changes to the plan that was adopted 6/18, but several of the fields, when you looked at the goal areas, were left blank with the percentages and the goals and the data. So those have now been completed. So the LCAP is fully completed. So I just ask that you approve those changes to the data fields.
And it'll go back to the county.
And it'll go back to the county. And the county, I met with Joe, who is the person that oversees this, just to review with him that everything was aligned so that if I brought it back to you, it would likely be approved by the county. And he said it looked great.
So. Eyes were dotted and T's
eyes were dotted and T's were crossed. We're all clear.
So moved.
And a second?
Second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Perfect. 5.5 is passes, and we're on to 5.6, approval of the Injury and Illness Prevention Program, IIPP.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a plan that is mandated by the state. We're a little behind in approving it. It was supposed to be brought forth in June. However, I'm bringing it forth now. And everything has been brought up to compliance. And we were supposed to remove all the COVID clauses, some of those old things that are no longer in place. But there are future requirements that I worked with Tricia to add about the employee training. I know they were so appreciative to get the extra compliance trainings added. The reporting and record keeping tools that we need to use for safety purposes. As well as updating the heat standards and hydration standards that are now required by the state. So the plan is now compliant and up to date, and once you approve it, we can post it on our website.
Any questions? If not, then may I have a motion to accept 5.6, please?
I'll motion to accept.
And a second?
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Perfect. 5.6 passes. On to 5.7. Approval of Board Policy 6-104, Workplace Violence Prevention.
Okay, so I have to be totally transparent on this. I think the number is right. What is going to end up happening is you all adopted the SSDA policies for the board policy. They didn't have, when I reached out to them, the exact policy that matched this plan. This is a new plan that is an addition this year with the Workplace Violence Prevention Plan that has very specific policy that is supposed to be attached to it. So what they recommended is that I work after we approve it to have a landing field on our district website that would be linked to the SSDA policies so that there'll be a bridge so that all the policies will align. Until we merge that, I can't guarantee the number's right. I might have to tweak the number, but the policy itself will stay the same. The numerical order might be a little different, but the policy itself will remain the same. And what this does is this outlines the necessary components and the necessary guidelines that we have to do as a district to fulfill the parts of that plan and how we implement it. So it's how we have to evaluate certain hazards, the reporting that we have to go through, our employee training. They love the extra mandates that I added to the field that they had to take, and the record keeping that will be part of it. So basically, it's just creating that safe working environment for everybody, and one of the key components is that if we had something hazardous or if there was something dangerous taking place, that we made sure we had a complaint procedure in place that would keep any student or any employees from any retaliatory type of things for reporting anything when they came through. So there were several components that had to be brought into place. So this policy outlines everything, and then the next one is the actual plan itself.
Thank you for doing that.
Do you want to take them separately or can we put them together?
Well, I would take them separate because sorry.
Okay, if there's no questions, comments, or concerns, can I have a motion to accept 5.7, please?
A motion to accept.
A second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5.8, which is the approval of the workplace violence prevention.
So this specifically outlines everything, and even though we hadn't formally adopted it yet, there is a mandate when we have that initial staff training at the beginning of the year that we're supposed to be reviewing a lot of these components with our staff, and so I had already met with the principals, and they've already reviewed that at the very first staff meeting, so that the sites are in compliance and they are linking. We share the information so that they can link. All of our plans are supposed to be intertwined, and so we've been sharing information so that everything is going to come together so that all of our plans match with the final LCAP, with their site plans, with their disaster plans, so that everything is kind of coming together instead of in isolation. So,
okay, are there any questions? If not, can we have a motion to accept 5.8, please?
So moved. Sorry, my friend.
Second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Perfect. 5.8 passes. On to 5.9, approval of board policy 5-304, employee complaints. We don't have those.
Well, and this is more specific. So what ended up happening, and the reason that we brought forth specific board policies that aren't part of the SSDA ones, is the SSDA ones had generic clauses that they said kind of fit these components and would cover you in these components, but they weren't as specific as what was outlined by the state, so I just feel more comfortable being that specific so that we're meeting all of those requirements, and if anybody, you know, had questions, we're meeting the mandates. So this, we have a complaint procedure in place, but it wasn't as specific and didn't address some of this, the areas that they wanted us to address as part of that WPVV. So I went ahead and added an additional policy that really outlines what those procedures would be so that we are meeting all those requirements, and it's really clear in how we should handle those situations should they arise.
And that protects us from a liability standpoint too,
right? It protects everybody. You know, it protects the employee, and it protects the district, it protects the victim. It's very outlined, so.
That way there's no ambiguity.
Necessary. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Timelines, everything is very clear.
So like the timeline.
Yeah.
Are there any questions? May I have a motion to accept 5.9 then?
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5.9 passes. Oh, 5.10, we're almost there. Sorry.
Yes.
5.10, approval of standard operating procedure, 9-hour non-discrimination of employment.
So this is a standard operating procedure. So when you look at all those board policies, it gets a little bit daunting for some people, and not everybody's going to be diligent in reading board policies. Some people enjoy that, other people don't. So this standard operating procedure is just kind of one of those adopted. Let me give you the cliff notes. This is what you need to do in this case, and this is where you refer if you need more information. So that's what this is.
And you all read that already, right? So we're all clear. No questions? Can I get a motion to accept 5.10, please?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
5.10 passes. 5.11, approval of board policy 5-203, employee paid sick leave.
So this is something I had no idea about. This was one of my professional growth opportunities coming on board. But they actually passed a resolution last year that if you had any substitutes in your district that worked 30 days or more, they were entitled to 5 days of sick leave or 5 days of paid leave. Kind of makes you think, if I have a sub that's coming in to sub for a teacher that's sick, how do they get sick leave? But that's what they're entitled to. When we looked at the list, I want to say we had 8, and I apologize, I left my list in there. I think I have 8 people that would have qualified within our district to meet this mandate. What ends up happening is, because we didn't have this mandate in place, I technically can't pay them at the end of the year for those 5 days. But what you can do is you can roll those 5 days in, you can't accrue more than 10 days, and you can be paid out in the subsequent year. So either they can take 10 days or they can get paid. Everybody's gonna get paid because you really can't take a sick day when you're a sub, you know, so it doesn't make sense. So it just basically allows them 5 extra days of paid. What I think is fair and what I propose we do is they are dedicated people who are here for our teachers, who are consistent subs. I feel that because this was supposed to be in place last year, that we contact those five people or those individuals. We tell them they have 5 days. We roll their 5 days to this year to where they can accrue the 10 days if they work, or their 5 days roll and they can still get their 5 days at the end of the year. So I think we should put this policy in place, and then I think we should backdate and honor it. I unfortunately can't pay them because that was last fiscal year, but I can still honor it with the way the rule works this year.
I just want to confirm that I understand this correctly. This is a benefit they were legally entitled to.
This is a benefit they were legally entitled to. We just didn't have
it
in place.
And okay. Are those eight employees substitutes?
They're still working for us, and they're still our go-to.
All eight of them are still our hardworking.
Yeah, they're every one of them.
It's 30 days through the school year?
It's 30 days through the school year. So if they do 30 days or more through the school year, they're entitled to 5 days. But even if they take those 5 days, technically you're paying them for those 5 days.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Any other questions? Can I have a motion, please, to accept 5.11?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5.11 passes. Thank goodness for our substitutes.
I know. We've got some good ones.
Yeah. 5.12, approval of the 26-27 salary schedules.
Okay, so you guys did already approve these. You're not mistaken. But what ended up happening when Anna and I did an audit, or we did an audit of all of the offers at the end of the year to make sure everybody's coded and things are there. We noticed some oddities when we looked at the audit or the offers, and what ended up happening were certain cells on the salary schedules were wrong. Some, because we originally had a 2.5% agreement, it moved to a 2.8, some were left at the 2.5, some had the 2.8, so there were some inconsistencies. Thank God we found it before payroll. We went ahead and used our updated, even though they weren't approved yet, because it was right, so that we didn't have to go back and make corrections. But what is before you now are updated, correct salary schedules, and what will happen is once we have these approved, we will post those on the website.
There was a lot of changes that were done.
It
all
was
at one
very
time.
Rushed at the very
we
end.
We went from
and, yes.
We made agreements, and then those agreements changed with
yes.
the unions.
Yes. And so I think it was just rushed, and they're coming in and coming out. No fault of anybody, but I'm just glad we found them before we ran payroll in July.
Absolutely.
And posted.
Yes. So they are correct.
So moved.
And a second?
Second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5.12 passes on 5.13.
Can I request a quick restroom break?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And that is actually Anna, not me. So I'm going to let her talk on it because she's smarter than I am.
Thank you.
remember, everything happened so fast towards the end, trying